comes about with a speaker and communication is a lack of clarity. Sometimes a speaker is just not clear. I know in listening to myself on occasion on tape, and I hate to go back and listen to myself, it's very depressing, but when I do make myself go back and listen to what I have said in a class or a sermon on tape, I realize so often that what I thought was very clear and very understandable just wasn't. And sometimes you wish you could go back and kind of take those words out of your mouth and reframe all those sentences to make them more clear to people. Sometimes the reason why people misunderstand us is because we don't say it very well. Many times in teaching college classes at Florida College, I have had students who've come to me when I pass back a test and they're upset because I marked a particular question wrong. And it's some essay question and I ask them to explain such and such and I've given what the answer is. I've talked about what the correct answer is, and a student will say, "Well, that's what I said." And I'll look at their test and they've got words there that don't at all say what we were just saying was the correct answer. And I'll explain that, and very often I'll have students say, "Well, but what I meant was," and they'll give a very good explanation of what the point was, and they'll look at me like, "See, I understand this information." And I'll say, "But that's not what you said, but that's what I meant." "Well, you know, you may have meant that, and you may have meant to communicate that, but that's not what you said." And so it gives me the opportunity to be a mean and nasty teacher and just gleefully not correct the answer and watch the student leave the class and shame and hatred for me and all that, you know. No, that's probably not true. I'm a little bit nicer than that. But sometimes that's just the problem, is that a speaker is just not being clear. Is that what we can say about God's Word? Is that the problem? Is that why you have so much religious division today? You have so many different people who are worshiping God, supposedly the God of the Bible, and yet in various and sundry ways and contradictory ways. Is it because God somehow has just not been clear in His Word? Well, I'm impressed with what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Because after Paul has given a brief summary of the blessings that Christians have in Jesus Christ, he gives that in chapters 1 and 2. He then says in chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, "By revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before, in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ." That's a marvelous statement. Because what he is pointing out there is that God is revealing, or has revealed to him, this marvelous mystery. And Paul says, "I have written that to you." He's given them a brief summary of that in the first two chapters of this letter. And he says, "You can read that." And more than that, he says, "You can understand." And there are so many religious groups today who teach their people that they really can't understand God's Word. There are so many groups that say there's only a special clergy class that is either smart enough or educated enough or whatever to be able to understand God's Word, and the common ordinary person cannot read and understand. Well, Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 3, that's absolutely not true. Because Paul is writing this letter to those saints in the area of Ephesus, and he says, "I've written this down," and he says, "You can read and you can understand." And he's not writing this letter to some elite class of people in the Ephesian congregation. He's writing to every single member. He's writing this to every single person who can read or have it read to them what Paul is saying. And he says, "You can understand." In fact, he even says a little bit more than that. He says, "You can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ." That's a marvelous statement. Because he's talking about this tremendous mystery that was in the mind of God that he had then revealed to the apostles and prophets, and Paul says that they now are revealing that to the world at God's behest, and as a result of that, people can understand the very insight that Paul and the other apostles themselves had received. I think that's really marvelous. Paul says exactly what I understand, exactly what had been revealed to me, you can understand. You can understand my insight. I think that's important because God is clear in His Word. Now, that doesn't mean that everything in God's Word is going to be easy for us to understand, as if everything is just a simplistic level. In any field of knowledge, there are basic elements, and then there are more difficult matters. There is a hierarchy in the whole process of depth of knowledge. And so you have to start with the basics and then work your way up. Those things that are basic, and those things then that build upon that, so we have a greater understanding of things. But God is saying here in His Word that we can understand. And that's why He communicated to us. It's not that God somehow is ineffective as a speaker. You know, another reason why there's inadequate communication going on and why you see so much problem in the world today is because there's important information that is omitted. Important information that is omitted. Sometimes when I have had students come to me after I've given a test, I've marked a particular question wrong, and I've actually had to give them credit for that question, because I realized I asked that question thinking that I had talked about that point in my lecture a few classes back. But I realized that I intended to make that point, but never got around to it. Time ran out, whatever. Well, no matter how mean and nasty you are, it's not really good to count students' tests wrong when they had no opportunity of even getting that knowledge because you neglected to give it. And so I got to go ahead and give them credit for that. You know, it's tough, but I make myself do that. In any kind of communication process, if important information is left out, you've got a problem. Is that what goes on with God's Word? Has God somehow left certain things out of His revelation? In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, the writer Paul, again, is outlining those great spiritual blessings that we have. And I think that what's so interesting about this is that included among those blessings is the fact that God revealed the information to us. In fact, that really is the point he's getting at in verse 8. He says, "In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth." So the spiritual blessing he's talking about, this particular blessing, is the fact that God, in all wisdom and insight, made known his will to us. It wouldn't be fair for God to hold us accountable for something when he never provided us any way of knowing that information or knowing what he wanted us to do. But the fact of the matter is that God did reveal that. And that's the great blessing that he has given to us, because we know it and we know everything. In fact, Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." That's a marvelous statement, because it says that God has provided us with absolutely everything pertaining to life and godliness. He didn't leave anything out of the picture. He didn't leave anything out of His revelation. When God spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, and when God spoke in these last days to us in His Son, Jesus Christ, that's the sum total of all of His revelation. And as we've talked about in our class on Psalms, even Psalm 119 today, that is a marvelous revelation from God, and everything that we need, God has revealed to us. He's left nothing out. That's why in Psalm 119, verse 160, it says, "The sum of thy word is truth." Everything in God's word is truth. And He has given us everything, Peter says. Now that needs to have some effect upon us. Because if we really understand that God is a perfect communicator and He has given us absolutely everything pertaining to life and godliness, then what that should say to us is that we need to look into God's Word for every answer to every problem. And that's not always the attitude that people have. Sometimes the attitude that people have is, well, God's Word is good for certain things, but this is a problem I'm having with my friend. And so God's Word doesn't have anything to do with that. This is a special problem between me and my friend. Or this is a special problem between me as a parent and my children and how I should handle things here. Or it's a problem between spouses. And so how do you deal with all that? Well, God's Word is for its area of expertise, but I need to look to some other source of authority for how I'm to conduct myself in these relationships, how I can solve these various problems. Do we not see that if that really is our attitude, what we're implying is that God hasn't given us everything here, that God has left some important things out that we really need? And so often people will be talking about things that have to do with your moral interaction with your neighbor, with your children, with your wife, with your husband, with your brethren, and your moral activities with them. And God has said things about that. And people just are not content with that. And they look elsewhere for some other kind of authority. And so often it's things that would be contrary then to what God has spoken. But we think, well, God's Word just doesn't pertain to this particular problem. And I don't mean to imply that God's Word is addressing every single thing that might ever come up in life. You can't look to God's Word to find out how to fix your automobile. That's not its purpose. But what we do need to understand is that God's Word has said things to us and has said everything that we need in dealing with those things that have to do with our relationship, not only with Him, but our proper moral and ethical relationship with other human beings. And when we go to psychologists or other things instead of looking at God's Word, when we go to psychologists and pop theories that are contrary to God's Word, when we look at all these other sources instead of looking at those things that would be based upon God's Word, then we really are implying that God has left some things out. We don't really have enough information from God. And we've got to venture out on our own. In no way am I suggesting that there can't be some good things that psychologists have to say, or that those who have dealt with various fields might have to say. But if it is anything that is based upon principles other than what you find in God's Word, then it's inevitably going to be in conflict with what God's Word says. And we need to be very, very careful about that. God is an effective speaker, an effective communicator, and He doesn't leave information out. That's also why it's important for us to appreciate the fact that when it comes to knowing how we should serve God, how we should worship Him, what we need to do to be in a right relationship with Him, We need to look to God's Word and allow that to guide us. Because God has not left anything out. That Word is absolutely adequate. That's exactly what we need to understand. Because God's Word is intended to reveal to us His mind and what He wants us to do. Do you see the problem then when you have so many people in the religious world today who go by their traditions and their church practices that they have been engaging in, and they do not have any basis in Scripture for those things, and so often they will readily acknowledge that. There's a problem with that kind of thing. Because what it ultimately is saying is that, well, we're doing things that we really think are good and we just know God is pleased with all this, but if it's not found there in His Word, then that must mean God left it out. Do we not see there's a problem there? In fact, it really is great presumption on our part to think that we can depart from what God has said in His Word and we can come up with some theory about how a person is saved that is contrary to what you see in God's revelation. And it's not that people say that what they're engaging in or what they're practicing or what they are believing is somehow opposed to God's will. They convince themselves God's pleased. But folks, if you can't find it in His Word, then necessarily what that means is God must have left that information out. If He's pleased with that, if you're right in your premise that He's pleased with all that, but it's not found in Scripture, then the only conclusion you can draw is God just left that information out. But that's the very thing that these Scriptures say God does not do. He does not leave out that information. Instead, everything that pertains to life and godliness, He's revealed to us. And that's why we need to confidently make our stand with no diffidence or timidity at all about the fact that we are seeking to be New Testament Christians and follow what the New Testament is teaching, because that's what God has revealed, and He's a good communicator. And if He wanted something to be practiced in the name of Jesus Christ and in some corporate worship, then He would have revealed that to the first century Christians and therefore to us. If there's some way that a person can be saved in God's mind other than repenting and being immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of his sins, then God would have revealed that in His Word. And so if He hasn't revealed that other way, then we need to recognize He's not pleased with that. And to say otherwise is to say that He's really failed as a communicator. And that's exactly the opposite of what these passages say. One final problem that can come about in the matter of communication is information that's given. Maybe accurate information. Maybe good information. But it's just not relevant information to the person and to his or her problem. I think I can tell this story now. It's been several years and the parties are long gone and all this, but several years ago at Florida College, we had a problem as an educational institution about copyright laws. And copyright laws are constantly changing, and so you're trying to make sure as a teacher that when you make copies of various portions of books and magazines for your students, that you're not in violation of any kind of legal statute or something. And it can be a very difficult thing to keep up on all that. And so the administration one year at a faculty meeting had asked one of the faculty members to research copyright laws and give a speech in the faculty meeting about copyright laws. I have never in my life heard a more irrelevant speech. And we still kind of laugh about this because the individual got up and he began like this. Copyright laws began in 1532. And he began to outline various things about how copyright laws began and the problem in England, and then 1602, and then in 1734 when there was this change and all this, and you know, all this information, you know, and you know, it was kind of like where you just, oh, you know, can a comet please destroy us now and put us out of our misery? You know, it's kind of what everybody was feeling. And he just kind of gave us a little historical survey of copyright laws leading up to maybe about, you know, 1900. It was supposed to be like a 10-minute speech on current copyright laws. He spoke for about 30 minutes and never addressed current copyright issues. Well, aside from the fact that it was dull and boring, it was accurate. It had no relevance to what our problem was. You know, that's the way a lot of people feel about the Word of God. It's not relevant. It's not relevant to me and my life and my problems. In fact, so often people will talk about how, well, you know, that's written to people just hundreds and thousands of years ago, and those are different people, different culture. I mean, you know, what is said there in the Bible has absolutely no pertinence to what's going on with me in my life today in 2006. Well, we say that, but we're acting as if this is the word of human beings. But it's the word of the Almighty God Himself, who is inherently immortal, who is the great I Am, who always has been and always will be, who is omniscient and omnipotent. It is the word of that God, and therefore that God is able to communicate. In fact, this is the marvel of His communication ability. He is able to communicate to all human beings for all time by speaking immediately to a particular group of people or groups of people at one point in human history. But God, in His great wisdom and communication skill, is able to, through that means, reveal information that will be of pertinence and relevance for every generation in every society until Jesus returns. That's a marvelous, marvelous thing. That's what the Apostle Paul is getting at when he says to Timothy about the glory of Scripture and the purpose of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Every good work. What that is saying, folks, is that when I've got a problem, I need to recognize that God's Word has an answer and has an answer for me in my particular circumstances. It's there. I don't know how many times in Bible classes that we have had here, maybe it's been class in some Old Testament book or the Minor Prophets or maybe the book of Proverbs or even now as we're studying the Psalms, that somebody will come to me and make a comment, maybe after class or something, about the fact that they're just so impressed with how relevant this is to our current circumstances. And that really is true. And of course, there's a lot of cultural things and cultural differences, and we observe those and point those out. But you know what? People are people. And people are always going to be the same. And temptation is always going to be what afflicts our minds and our hearts and the lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh and the vainglory of life. That's always going to be part of our human condition and what tempts us so much. And the Word of God addresses all those things. And we're talking about human beings who are always going to be in circumstances, in various cultural settings, yes, but always in circumstances where issues about morality in regard to other people and how you behave with other people, that's always going to be the issue. And the issue of how God then would feel and what we need to do to be right with God and certain things, those are always going to be the issues there. And God in His Word is able to reveal things that are always relevant and always pertinent. And we've got to believe that. If you don't believe that, then really what you're saying is, God really couldn't communicate effectively. God thought that He could just communicate, as Jude said, at one point in human history, once for all, in the words of Jude. God thought He could do that, and it would be then this timeless message of everlasting permanence and pertinence. And yet God must have been mistaken about that, because we really need some new information right now, because our time and our circumstances, it's just so different. What we are really saying is that God somehow just blew it. God messed up. And we have information that just isn't relevant to us. It doesn't pertain to our problems. And usually what we mean by that is, well, it pertains to the problems of other people out there, but my circumstances are different. That's usually what we mean. I'm unique. I've got a unique problem here. No one's ever had a problem like this. What's being said in the Word of God? Well, it would apply to other people's circumstances, but my circumstances are so unique, they're in their own category. And God really just hadn't said anything that's really addressing my circumstance right here. What that really means is God is just a poor communicator. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Hebrew writer makes a marvelous, marvelous statement about the Word of God. He says, "The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." That two-edged sword that Rob mentioned that this passage talks about. Probably that short kind of Sicari sword, two edges. Just you could wield that very deftly. And you can just slice somebody up with it. And the Hebrew writer says that's what the Word of God does with us. In fact, folks, the Word of God is so relevant to you and me that you better watch your close contact with the Word of God, because you know what it's going to do? The Word of God is going to slice you up and open, just dissect you. And it's going to reveal to you exactly what is going on in your heart, the problems that you have deep down in the inner recesses of your mind and your conscience, those ugly things that you don't want to admit. The Word of God is going to lay those things open, lay them bare. And the Word of God is going to reveal to you what you need to do to make yourself a better person in God's eyes. So you better watch your close contact with God's Word, because like that short little two-edged sword, it's going to slice you open and reveal everything. But you see, that's that perennial relevance of the Word of God. It's always, always able to tell us about ourselves and tell us what we need to do to make correction. It doesn't matter when you live in human history. It doesn't matter what nation you live in on this earth. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. The Word of God is going to reveal you. And you need to thank God for that. God is a great, great communicator. He teaches us those things that we need to know, teaching us with clarity. He doesn't omit any information that we need. And it's very, very relevant to what we need. And I hope that if you are here today, that you will allow the Word of God to work upon you. If you are here today and you are not a Christian, then you need to recognize that God's Word is saying, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And that word is so pertinent to you and your circumstances. Act upon that. Respond to that word. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, and yet the Word of God has revealed your errors and your problems, and you need to make correction in your life, and it would be something that this group of people would be able to help you with, pray for you, or you need to make some kind of acknowledgement, then we would urge you to do that. But allow the Word of God to really have its intended effect upon you. And if we can assist you, won't you come while together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.